Don't worry, I'm not gonna hurt you.
Doing this thing, singing your opening again.
I guess so.
Yep.
Whoa. Hi everybody, welcome to Tiki and the Geek.
Yes.
I cut you off.
Yes, you did. I'm so emasculated now.
Here.
Boobies!
I know that makes for great podcasting.
Yeah, I know. Flashing on a podcast just turns everybody on.
Oh, it was only supposed to turn you on, so.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think we're good.
Yep. Welcome to the House of Sweat.
Oh, yeah. almost 2 weeks now.
Yep. Tomorrow will be the end of week two.
Yep.
Think I'm seeing something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I told you, I weighed myself Monday, I weighed myself Wednesday, and said I'd lost 2 pounds.
Oh, well, I figured, yeah, we gotta keep up with the testing like that. And,
mm-hmm.
It's gonna be interesting to start getting into some of the other stuff, because energy's been interesting.
Yes, it has.
And, you know, doing the forms thing has been interesting. Next is fat burning. Yep. I think the one that scares me is the 15-minute hot core.
Yeah, red hot core.
Yeah, that's
I haven't looked at it yet, but...
I'm just reading the description. It's only 15 minutes long. It's supposed to be in the middle. And I'm thinking, okay, 15 minutes long, what the fuck are they going to do to us?
Well, it's only about, 5 minutes? No. No, that never mind. More like 12 minutes short of energy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Or what they're going to pack into that 15 minutes is going to be interesting. What I've been finding funny is there's like a group of people that we know that are all starting this.
Starting it or have been doing it.
Right, like we started the same week as the bear.
The same day as the bear.
Everybody remembers
Phantom. And Fleshvine. Well, yeah. Phantom is also doing DDP yoga, and we just coincidentally happened to start on the same day.
And then I think you had a friend who's doing it.
Yeah, well, had been. She hasn't been for a while. She's got 3 kids.
Yeah, just getting time kind of gets rough.
Especially since she's got a new toddler.
The girl, that I know from cons and stuff. She just got her DVDs in. She actually was the one that said, because I've been putting pictures of the sweaty face up after every...
I didn't yesterday, but...
She says she just got hers in the mail, that I've been inspiring the hell out of her.
Hey.
I was like, wow, that puts a little more pressure on me and making sure I keep up with this. Because you don't me. I'm bad about getting into something and then...
Yeah.
Stopping, which hence the reason why I told you, you know,
that I have to poke.
You have to poke, yeah. So far, you haven't really had to poke.
No, not really.
You've had to chastise me for talking bad, but that was mainly because I was just wiped out from work too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bad thing is working retail and dealing with larger than normal.
Y'all have big trucks right now.
Yeah, just we've.
Well. You know, I'm gearing up for stuff at work, too.
So. Right. So, yeah, it's been, you know, wanting to come home and work out, being all happy. I've also found out we have to do it before we eat, not after, or at least not after a giant bowl of Chipotle.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel fine now, but oh my God, the heartburn, an upset stomach after doing it.
Yeah.
Whew. Although I love me some Chipotle.
Mm-hmm. Well, Wednesdays are going to be the tough day because, you know, with scheduling and stuff.
Well, yeah, you do the thing with the parents, so we usually have dinner before. Maybe I just need to just either wait until you get home, and if I'm going to get Chipotle, I just save it for later. Or... Wednesday just needs to be like go to Chick-fil-A or and get a salad, you know, or Boston Market or something and get a nice light salad before we do it.
Maybe.
have something to snack on afterwards for doing it. But yeah, I definitely don't want to stop.
No, absolutely. I'm feeling pretty good. I mean, you know, my shoulder still hurts, but it hurt before we even started.
Yeah,
so.
I'm still dealing with whatever I did to my shoulder, but it doesn't hurt during.
It doesn't hurt during. So yeah, and we got our yoga blocks in today.
Oh yeah, that's
so
right.
So those are going to help with a few of the positions.
Well, that's just because I can't bend down to hit the floor to do the standing leg splits. So I've been using a chair.
I can get there, but I can't hold it for long. I need a little more height for now. I'll work my way down.
Right, but I figured at least with the yoga blocks, it is lower. Mm-hmm. And I am working on it. It will make me work a little lower to get...
Right.
To get down to get to it. Yeah, I do find it funny that all my goals have less to do with actual weight loss and how I look in my clothing. Because part of this, and I don't think I mentioned this on the cast, but I wrote it down. If you go, I finally realized I hadn't used the geek side of the WordPress since 2012.
Yeah, I probably haven't used mine that. I have to go back again and look.
Right. But if you want to go, you can go read. I basically put a confession and wrote down everything. Basically what kicked all this off for me was the fact that all my kilts, except for, well, the sports kilts, but those are more wrap around in Velcro. But right. My utility kilts started getting tight.
Mm-hmm.
And they were always like one of my last bastions of looseness when it came to my clothing. I mean, it was a point to where I lost so much weight. If I had the kilt out on and I didn't have the belt cinched, it would drop. And it would either stay up and I could suck in my gut and it would fall to the floor.
See, I wasn't doing it.
Yes,
you just admitted
it.
You did. Nope. Doing it yourself.
You're the one that made the stomach contract. You're the one affecting my brain because you are in there. So you're pushing buttons to make me think that I did it myself, but you are actually the one controlling my pants falling down.
Mm-hmm. Sure. You just keep telling yourself that.
Yep. I am. I'm telling you that, too.
Yeah, well.
running joke.
You've heard us joke this before,
yeah.
I'm sure.
yeah, that's basically what we've been doing. Went to a new karaoke place last weekend.
Yeah, liked it.
Yeah, our friend Rob, who's a KJ, does like four or five shows. Well, he does 4 karaoke shows and 1 trivia night.
Yeah.
He also does weddings and parties and stuff. But he wasn't there, but we was going to his place he has on Saturday. We've never really gone. It was one of those we've been lounging around the house all day.
And, well, I'd had a migraine most of the day.
Well, that's true. You were dealing with the headache.
Yeah, but it felt good to get out. And for once, really liked his sub.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, that's the bad thing is we get used to Rob, and Rob puts on a very good show. He's a showman. He's an actor. He's a comedian.
Right.
You know, he likes to try to put on a show.
So sometimes when he has someone subbing in, it's just not the same. But this guy that was subbing, and I think he's going to be there again this Saturday, was actually doing pretty good, you know? I liked him.
And then we've got, Rob does now have a new Friday show. And because for some reason the kilt show went down.
But we're going to go support that one.
We'll support that one, yeah.
At least for the first night and, you know, check it out.
Yeah, check it out. So that will be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, on to the fun stuff. We don't have a whole lot this week. I was originally going to go on a rant about why nerdy people can't have nice things, but just not feeling it, and it's...
Yeah.
Nothing's really sparked underneath my ass. Although, I have kind of gotten this thing to where... It's thinking, you know, because we have the whole Caitlyn Jenner thing that came out.
Such a...
And, oh God, that is
powder
sparked.
Keg.
Oh my God, it's...
I've been having to skim Facebook because I've got friends on
both sides.
Both
yeah.
sides, and I just
see. And this is what my thing is. Yes, right now in this world, it is an important thing because it helps because there are so many people who are in that position who mm-hmm. are living lives that. I was going to say, it is a cliche, but lives of quiet desperation, not sure what to do and coming out and wanting to go through this, and yeah, and it's tough, and then you've got this person.
It's a heart-rending place to be sometimes.
And but in my perfect world, well, let's put this preference this way: if I came out right now and said I am straight, what would be the reaction of everybody?
That's nice.
Yeah, I mean, no one would give a shit, wouldn't blink at me twice. And I think in a perfect world, the proper response to someone coming out of the closet or coming out and saying is gay should be, okay.
That's cool.
Or,
okay.
Or, and? Mm-hmm. You know, because I think if all things are equal, yeah, your sexuality shouldn't matter any more. A person saying I'm gay shouldn't matter any more than someone saying I'm straight.
Yeah.
Because everybody's equal. It shouldn't be a huge deal. In the perfect world, this transformation from Bruce to Catelyn should have been met with a, oh, okay.
Oh, I mean, I looked at it and went, oh, yeah, you look nice.
Well, no, well, see.
That was my reaction.
Yeah, well, see, my thing is with the whole thing coming out now is important for those people who are living those lives that may need something like this to go and help them get through their own experience and they're dealing with seeing someone who's in that limelight, you know, who's under that spotlight now dealing with it.
Yeah.
You know, hoping that they could help them go through it.
Well, you know, I had a coworker that, well, she lost her job over it, but...
Right.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. It's one of those things no one can ever really prove. Probably let... The official reason is let go is one thing, but unless you can actually come out and have proof of...
Yeah. And, you know, and I remember watching, she was starting, she hadn't finished her changeover before, you know, we were no longer co-workers, although we're still friends.
Right.
We still see each other at cons and stuff. But I remember, you know, she'd already started, like, growing her nails and painting them.
Right.
And my reaction was always like, wow, that's a nice nail polish color. You know, and I knew what was going on, and I was like, more power to you. So, you know.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if we're all going to be equal, we're living in this equal world,
then everybody's...
Any coming out shouldn't even exist.
Yeah, it shouldn't. It shouldn't be a big deal.
There is
deal.
No such thing as a coming out. You know, coming out. You are who you are, and it's there.
And unfortunately, that's not the world we live in.
Yeah, that's not the world we live in. And that's
believe
the sad thing.
Me, I know.
Because we're more than what we do with our genitalia. And I think we really need to get over that.
We really do. If it's not your business, it's not your business.
Right. Unless I'm going to use my genitalia on you,
it
shouldn't matter to anybody.
Yeah. So, mini rant.
Mini rant, yeah. Well, it's not really a mini rant, it's just more of an observation. It's like, and I think that's mainly because it's in the news right now and making a big deal. And the fact that you now have, like, the feminists have come out and are saying that she's not a real woman. And you know, I know. It's
yeah. I could go on a long thing here about that.
And the sad thing is that we're living in a world where it feels like we're being more divided for stupid reasons than the real reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Onward, and then there's that whole thing about that sign that people have been putting up on DragonCon. FetLife about the cosplay is not consent.
Well, like I said, I've seen those in pictures from several cons for several years now.
And my problem is not the fact that I do
part
support.
Part of me wants to say I saw one at Dragon Con last year. So
it,
you know,
maybe
saw one
really,
at like one of the hotels.
And it, well, yeah. Well, if it is, it should be when you're getting your badge.
Yeah.
And that way you know, because see, the thing is there are rules, and there have always been rules that if you act like a dick, they're going to kick you out.
Yeah.
That's always been. But then they've had this huge push about you have to clarify it. And
why do you have to clarify it?
If don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick. I mean,
don't
that
be
should
dick.
Be the giant magic rule.
And I mean, unless you're actually a penis, don't be a dick.
Yes. Or if your name's actually Richard.
Yeah, that's okay, too.
Right.
Y'all know what we mean.
But the problem is, it is not the size of the sign.
No.
Or putting, you know, the pretty, you know, cosplay, the not equal and consent thing signs. That's making people finally go, oh my God, I shouldn't do this. The people who are doing it
should know better.
Well, A, should know better. But they don't give a shit about a sign.
No.
They don't give a shit about a fancy slogan. It's not like you're going to make a giant sign that says it and they're finally going, oh, now I get it. No, these people are dicks.
They don't get it.
They need to be with... They don't get it. They're assholes. They need to get weeded out. Oh, I wasn't going to rant. Okay. Oh my God, I'm sorry.
We're kind of arguing into why we can't have nice things.
Yeah, that's one of them.
Yeah.
But I think it's my also thing is that it's... Signs are nice, but they don't really mean shit.
Yeah.
Unless you start doing something about it.
Unless you're going to slam it in their face as they're doing it.
Yes, unless you're going to Harley Quinn them with a sign, then it's really... A sign is not going to stop a person from harassing another person.
Yeah.
The great big...
And it's... That's
the
not
great
an
big
excuse.
Six-foot banner
yeah.
that says cosplay's not consent and all this stuff with fancy pictures and stuff is not going to make that person who's going to grab that girl's tit go, oh, well, you know, now that they have this huge sign, now I'm not going to grab this girl's tit.
Yeah.
Because the people who are going to see the sign and not going to grab that tit aren't going to grab that tit to begin with.
Yeah, it's true.
All right, I do have a couple articles, and you know nothing about this, so.
No, I have no idea this time. All right,
first one, again, Playboy. Playboy's actually been a good source for some of these stuff that I've been getting. It's been really interesting.
Ooh.
Yes, the name of this article is Just the Tips. So I like to be bossed around in bed, ...
Hmm.
Okay, dear Catherine, I like to be bossed around in bed. How should I show... Oh, okay, this is actually an advice piece.
Oh.
It's by Catherine Cooper. They're asking, the question is, dear Kath, or the thing is, dear Kathleen, I like to be bossed around in bed. How should I show my partner that I like that without flat out requesting something from them that might not be their bag? Sincerely, not the boss.
Hmm.
Dearest not the boss, power and control offer endless pleasure, theorizations and frustrations when it comes to matters of the heart, mind, and bod. Asking for what you want in bed is never easy, and if you are at all politically minded or aware person, asking to be controlled or to control someone can be very loaded. It may be helpful to start with the assertion that when you are in bed with another person, you're also not you. You might say, you're not you. The same could be true with a lot of other different scenarios as well. When you're at the office, for example, or with your family, or you're with a group of friends as opposed to another group of friends. Asking to be bossed around in bed doesn't mean that you... want to be bossed around anywhere else. When you're in bed, you have permission to have some things that you would never say in any other context. Remember how 50 Shades of Grey, a movie that was supposed to be about hot sex, was actually about paperwork and contract? Well, you do enter a different kind of contract in the bedroom. In order to help you delve into your desire to be bossed around, I turned to a real-life BDSM expert, Justine Cross. Cross runs two dungeons, places where people go to practice BDSM, in Los Angeles, where she's been a practicing dominatrix for 8 years. If anybody knows about bossing people around, it's her. Only thing is... Oh, I think we've had this discussion when it comes to clubs and things. Dominatrix seems to work, but the true... feminization of dominant is dome.
Dome, yeah.
Dome, yeah. So that should have been, but that's a little nitpicking.
Yeah.
When you're, it's one of those things. Knowing enough to be knowing enough information to be dangerous.
Yeah.
Okay. Set your terms. As Cross says, there's no such thing as surprise BDSM. Whether you're interested in a little verbal humiliation or something more extreme, Cross advised that you have a discussion at a very neutral, non-sexy time. She goes on to say that she starts her sessions by going into safe words, likes, dislikes, medical conditions.
This is negotiation.
Some people don't know what they want, she says. And for them, I say, we're going to do a little amisque BDSM. And you and your partner must start with a conversation and then move into a tasting menu.
Okay.
Figuring out what kind of bossing around you're into. While you might not feel like wanting to be bossed around is the same thing as Rihanna's level of fantasies of whips and chains, there is some level of BDSM, says Cross. I agree with her. The power and control play comes boundaries. Cross encourages you to ask what names are hot for you, what names do you not want to be called, is there kinds of bossing around you want verbal, someone telling you what to do, or physical, being shoved around. Negotiate the fine print with your partner and with yourself. Just as important to know what you don't want as well as what you do.
Yeah, exactly.
Adhere to safe, sane, and consensual.
Mm-hmm.
I always want to know what a major no-no is, says Cross. If all of a sudden I pull out a ball gag and they're not into it, I want to know that. Mm-hmm. Whether you're negotiating sex, whether it's kinky or vanilla, with someone else, it helps to have a vocabulary to discuss your desires and boundaries. Cross recommends red, yellow, green, which is actually my preferred system to go down to go with your partner. Red means stop, green means go, yellow means slow down and check in.
Right.
She says, this is the kind of system that keeps things safe, same, and consensual. Write the scene. BDSM practitioners refer to themselves as players and the sexual activity they engage in as a scene. You may want to adopt this vocab in regards to your own power play. A scene is very different from sex, says Cross. There will be definitely a beginning and an end, and not always an orgasm. Explaining to your partner this is a scenario you want to explore as player, rather than the end-all be-all of who you are and how you want to be treated may help frame your conversation when you introduce the idea. All right?
Okay, so far good.
Yeah. Have an end game. When you and your partner agree that you want to engage in a scene, you ask yourself what you want to happen after you've been bossed around. Aftercare is what happens after a BDSM scene. It can be anything from a hot shower, a hug, or time to relax and hang out. Letting your partner know that they will have space to be taken care of and allow yourself space to be taken care of after a scene can make it that much more enjoyable.
Yeah.
Okay. And discern how important it really is to you. I can completely understand your trepidation about your sexual request being rejected and your desire not asked, and your desire not to ask flat out. Most people suffer from this fear to a certain extent. All relationships, whether sexual, romantic, or both, involve compromise. But as Cross puts it, for some people, BDSM is not that important in the relationship. For some people, they need it, and it's a deal breaker. If you articulate your desire, and it's just not their bag, decide for yourself how essential it is to you to be bossed around in bed, then proceed accordingly. The main thing I'd like you to walk away with, my dear, is that there's nothing shameful about your desire. Different cultures at different moments, different kinds of sexual practices are acceptable and taboo. Articulating your wants and needs as an adult who respects people is never a bad call. As Cross says, no one ever concludes, I wish you had been less clear. Say what you want, flat out, and in the sense, you will be very much your own boss.
All right.
Yeah. I think that's the perfect little, for people who are getting into the scene for the first time. I think that's a nice little primer.
That is. That's really good.
And again, I've really been enjoying the Playboy online. And not only do they post the hot pictures, but they, you know.
Great articles like that.
Right. And we go from there to Cracked, which is another one where we've been getting...
Hey, if they're putting out good stuff.
The 6 worst pieces of sex advice on the internet.
Oh, boy.
All right. Like me, you've probably seen a sex scene in a movie from behind the room divider. Mom thought didn't have any cracks on it. Hee hee. Mom, so naive. Being the sexual expert you therefore are, you never need Google tips on how to be a better lover. But know this. There are a number of websites out there with articles dedicated to making you groan into a combination circus amusement park / Taco Bell. Is it possible that a hastily made article of a number of points could ever be educational? Who writes this things like that? The answer, of course, is I don't know. The article is more concerned with tips from sites that seem like maybe they were written by people who had never seen a good sex or room divider crack, and therefore unequipped to even hope to tell you how to be a better lover at all.
Mm-hmm.
Number 6, eliminate your filth. What does wanting to be a better lover mean? It means you lack a certain something when it comes to the way you slide your groove tuber into the chubby hole, and maybe you could be doing better. Maybe your partner continues to fall asleep about 4 minutes into the action, or sometimes instead of crying, oh baby, they just cry. So when you go and search for tips on how to better yourself in the arena of lovemaking, that's what I call my pants, incidentally, the arena. Sometimes Thunderdome, depending on how much I've been drinking. You want solid advice on new ways to produce pleasure or engage a lover. And so that was my segue into the quote, if at all possible, have a shower or at least give your undercarriage a quick rinse before you slip between the sheets.
Okay.
Maybe I'm about to rock your world as soon as I take some of this lemon-scented wet nap from KFC and swirl it around my somewhat pungent cock hole. Strap yourself in for a wild ride, sugar tits, because no one uses Mr. Clean Magic Eraser, because once I use this Mr. Clean Magic Eraser to rid the Oreo stains off my nutsack, we're going to Pleasure Town.
Really?
Under no circumstances is rinsing your junk a tip to becoming a better lover. This is a tip to becoming a better hobo. If the best you can muster is rinsing your taint, you may not be the best the lover the person you're about to befoul has ever had. You're about to become the most notable mistake in this week. And if your lovemaking skills are so upnet that you are enlightened by a tip that you should rinse your stank off your crotch, then it's likely you've never made love so much as handed $50 to someone who keeps strips of medical tape on hand to allow at least one orifice to be permanently spread open as easy entrance and rutted against a possible their easy aspect of somewhat less than comfortable crevice for 5 minutes of shameful busy work.
Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, you should just be keeping yourself clean anyway.
Right. Yeah, but it's one of those things where that's not really lovemaking advice.
No, it's not.
Yeah, that's keeping your junk clean. Okay, number 5, be a friendly rapist. This tip comes from us from the Polyman, who is neither a bird nor a superhero, but does look suspiciously like a bohemian version of the Canadian actor Kareem Mackey Sanchez. Is Polyman a guy who has many wives? This may be his goal, but it seems he believes in a Renaissance man who spends his life bettering himself and has tips for bettering yourself. Yay!
Okay.
Oh, when he starts off with a tiny bit of mystic, he also seems to be more ground. He also seems to be like more grounded, decent version of a pickup artist.
Oh,
until
boy.
You read through his tips on being a better lover and get to number 5, lead and be dominant. Get ready for this, ladies. It's a good one.
Oh, boy.
As a man, it's your job to lead in the bedroom, he says explicitly. And you know what? That's okay. Maybe it's not your job. You probably fill out the TPS reports or stock shelves for a living. But you can also have a productive sexual role. Lots of women like that. Or proactive sexual role. Lots of women like that. Okay. He goes out of his way to insist that you never do anything against your partner's will. You never force yourself on her. But then, and this is the quote, do what you want to do to her and have your way without asking for permission. If you cross the line, generally apologize and stop and change course. So, don't commit sexual assault until you do, and if she's not cool with it,
apologize
and maybe give her a foot rub or something. I'm going to go out on the limb and suggest that you're not a better lover if you sexually traumatize your partner in such a way that requires an apology and a complete change of direction that comes with the rest of you doing what you want without permission. If you do this, if you just start slapping your partner's face with your genitals or peeing on them while laughing and live streaming it, or filling their bottom with nickels, you're not some kind of enlightened lover. You're just horrible. You're a horrible asshole.
Yeah.
Okay, 4. Be a furry monster, but don't.
Oh boy.
If you take time to read the Ask Men article I linked earlier, it includes a tip that you need to keep your goodies well shown. Like a mighty humpberry, huh? Free of the perils of pubes. I think I wrote about pube shaving in a recent article, but never mind that now. This new article wants you to never shave your balls. Okay? Nearly every site that offers basic tips on how to make yourself humpticles, kind of like
humpticles,
like beercules. The Greek god of thrustinaries. it assists you go ham on your doodle with depositories, or whatever it is. The D word you use means taking away your hair.
Depilatories,
thank you. And then this trendy young upstart seeks to confuse the sexually departed by throwing a curveball that you need to embrace your hairiness. You can't have it both ways, awful tips for lovemaking.
No.
Either everyone's crotch needs to be as sleek as a greased up Prius.
Okay.
Or we all dishevel briar patches and an abrasive throb gobbling undergrowth. How is anyone supposed to get anything done if we're constantly growing and shearing away our junk fuzz anyway? Make up your minds.
Yeah.
Also, and this can't be stressed enough, neither act of shaving or not shaving in any way affects your ability to actually perform the sex act unless your pubic fat is so well maintained, tentacled beast that it actually attacks the fellowship outside the gates of Mora. In which case, that's really weird. Get rid of that thing. Your sex life will improve.
Oh. Speak friend and enter.
Sir, yes. Number 3, change your sheets. If I was giving advice on how to become a better lover, I would suggest getting drunk and seeing how different one from another your partner holds taste. But I didn't have any medical or sexual experience that hasn't resolved in any therapy sessions, so what do I know? I tell you what I know. Changing your sheets is a lame-ass suggestion for improving your love lights, but here we are. Article WebMD, the internet's preeminent self-diagnosis hypochondriac's wet dream, is linked to two sex experts, so you think the advice would be pretty solid. Yet the required word count must have been looking hard to grasp as a unicorn when they came up time to flesh out the section on redecorating the bedroom when suggesting to pick up the dirty laundry and try out some new sheets came up. Good rule of thumb for sexual endeavors is that your sex life has decayed to the point where changing sheets is needed to spice it up. That it's time to pack it up and become some kind of monk or competitive StarCraft player because you've just been misusing your genitals this whole time anyway.
Okie dokie.
Alternatively, if new sheets get you off, maybe you should try new wallpaper or a new texture of toilet paper because you get off so easily you probably don't even need a partner. don't oversex a booty call.
Yeah, definitely.
This article, the article this tip comes from was written by Ricardo Domino, who I like to think has a number of stories about being pulled over by Lady Cox and having to work off a ticket. And maybe one or two stories about that time Scarlett Johansson's car broke down outside his house, so he'd have sex with her until AAA showed up. And AAA was a sexy Russian spy who he also sexed, and also then sent to prison. But he visited her in prison and sexed her and the busty warden, Areola DeBosombu. Cardis has all kinds of tips for making a woman experience intense pleasure, such as stimulating her G-spot, her deep spot, and her R-spot. Are you familiar with those last two? Of course you're not, because that shit's straight gibberish. And well and famous, the deep spot, or another Fonk's androgynous zone, is a real place way up the hell there. They can be pretty pleasurable for a lady. The R spot's just some made-up shit. Though, let me set the tone of the rest of this piece of awesomeness. Nearly 2,500 words devoted to telling you how to stimulate the G-spot from both inside and outside, and how biting her entire lower jaw will turn her on. He finally gives you a warning, so important that the warning he prefaces in boldface type. Never use the tips on a woman you are not that serious about.
Okay.
Do you want to know why? You can really create a sense of powerful sexual addiction of a woman if you do. And you don't want a woman you're seeing only casually to get too attached to you. So you see, it's beneficial for you and, yes, womankind, that you do not use all of Ricardus's incredible tips on a lady you're not committed to, because you're going to ruin her fragile psyche if you do. Your sexings are going to be so good, the very idea of her not permanently owning you after that will probably make her shit applesauce and adopt 70 cats. Bite those jaws responsibly, kids. You don't want to go breaking too many hearts out there. And number one on this list, pray.
Really?
Pray. Remember, these are the worst tips.
Okay, yeah.
This tip is one of the rare ones offered up for the ladies that isn't one of those mind-blowing, presumptuous Cosmo tips everyone enjoys making fun of that seem to have been written by human-hating robots. Straight out of Mom's Life Today, the sexiest website I can think of offhand, comes 10 tips to make you a better lover by sundown. Depending on the time of day you access this site, this list could be an intense whirlwind. First 9 tips includes things like flirt. Tell your husband you're horny, in which case makes all the sense and helps get everyone on the same page. Pretty standard stuff. And then it gets right down And then, right down there at number 10, comes the saddest Hail Mary play of sexuality you've ever seen on a list of hump-making tips. Prayer. Tip 10 suggests that you are supposing the entire list up to the point hasn't worked for you, including the tip of brushing your teeth. You may want to consider directing your attention to the Almighty. Ask God to tell you how to become a better lover. Ask God. If divinity is your last hope for that special boner fun, then please give God a break and just nap. You know that people pray to God when they're dying in hospitals, when they're starving and diseased and bleeding and alone and desperate? They are trying to grasp at what they feel is the supreme force of creation, the thing so powerful that through its own will that it can come to be, the only conceivable force of all time and space that it could make itself exist, and from the single act give birth to the vastness of all time and all things. And then you come along with your freshly brushed teeth, your damp and half-shaved crotch, your willingness not to rape anyone, or at least apologize for it afterwards when you do, your new sheets, and your knowledge of some shit called the R-spot, and you say, Lord, if you have a moment amidst the infinite number of tasks that are necessary to be flowing from the very essence of your beings at all time, and if you can intellect some is something that would register the meaningless of the needs of a human being for one of your innumerable planets making up the entire universe, do you think you could make some time so that the anus feels better than getting some free Sundays, or maybe actually ends in a productive said free Sunday? In your name, amen.
Getting laid should not be a miracle. I'm sorry. Really?
Yeah, really, prayer. Honestly, and on that note, I don't think I have much more to say about that.
No.
And as always,
I think that's all. Wow. Yeah. All right.
Oh, Lord, yeah. That was a funny article. Of course, we'll have these linked up on on the WordPress. So, as always, if you love us, if you hate us, tell me stop reading the fucking articles.
Give us some more articles that you found you'd like us to cover.
Yes. You can reach us at numerous places. There's kinkyandthegeek@gmail.com.
Kinkyandthegeek@wordpress.com.
At kinkyandthegeek on Twitter.
Kinkyandthegeek on Facebook.
A friend of Kinky and the Geek on FetLife.
And
I think that's it. Or you're the one that has to.
Well, there's the Instagram I'm working on.
What?
I'm kidding.
Oh, also, I think you would have got the Tumblr first, you Tumblr whore.
When I get the background on that, just the way I want it, I'll let everybody know.
Okay, so...
He thinks I'm not working on this.
I'm sure you are. Okay, so be good.
Or be good at it.
Bye.
Bye.